God wanted to do it. Even Charles Capp's wife, she needed a kidney. And she stood, I mean, and they, boy, they knew the word.
Yeah.
And she stood and stood and stood, and God said, he said, no, I have a kidney for you. Or was it liver? I don't know if it was kidney or liver, but one of the two, those are very serious organs in your body. And he said, but I will heal you quickly with it. And they were amazed. She had a replace, you know, got some kidney or liver. I can't quite remember. But God is real, and he's here for us.
Yes.
This wasn't me or something I made up. I heard the three D's and healing.
Huh.
Defeated, discouraged, depressed.
Yeah.
The enemy is trying, but press through. Yes. We're more than conquerors. We're victorious in him.
Yes.
But thank him. The thing that really continued to make you free is to get worship music. If you can't afford it, I'll buy it for you. I will. I give it to you. Worship him. But it's got to be heartfelt. God, I worship you. I thank you. Can I have fingers? Some people don't have hands. And I thought about those little kids that had their mom took the drug because the doctor said and they don't have any arms. I've seen them. I've seen those people. There's one in Iowa. Is one of his arms. Yeah, or legs. Yeah, no limbs. Yeah, no feet.
Yeah, no, one arm.
We have to be grateful for what we've got, that I can talk, that I can see.
Hallelujah.
5 to 6 years ago, they said I was getting cataracts. Well, you can do something about it. But you know what? Every time I go back there, she said, "It's." I don't see nothing. You're not ready. You're not ready for laser. Wonder why.
His word. Got to know his word.
I tell you, he's real. Talk to him.
Yep.
Talk to him. He doesn't want you to run from him. Maybe you've done something or, you know, you feel like you're not doing something right or, you know. You could even be taking something or to make you feel better, but go to him and talk to him.
Yeah.
He loves you.
Yep.
He loves you. It makes no difference to him. All he wants is like a parent. A parent wants their child to come to them so they can help him.
Yeah, that's good.
And he is, if we do that, he more so does it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to go away. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a perfect heart towards him. The outside of this is all going to decay anyway. But the heart is where it's at. It's a heart for God. And he looks to and fro throughout the whole earth to those whose heart is pure. Yes, and are strong in the word. Is that 2 Chronicles 16:9?
Yep.
We always remember 2 Chronicles 7, right? 14.
Mark knew that one.
Yeah. But he looks to and fro.
Yeah.
And he loves you.
Yep.
He wouldn't have even done this today. I'm not doing stuff to make up. But the anointing was strong, so just receive it. But he works through vessels on the earth. Okay, well, we can be seated and we will receive the tithes and offerings. I actually thought that I was in that room, and I thought that Lacey announced that Ashley had her baby. And then I went,
it's a miracle.
Wow, she must have had twins, and the other one didn't come yet. No.
It's a miracle.
Right. We'll go to Luke 5:1 first. Oh, okay. But see, that music was so, that even brought on the strong anointing in here. Okay, so Luke 5:1, and do it out of the King James. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and Simon Peter, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So really, what he asked if he could borrow his boat so he could thrust out on the land and, you know, stand there and preach to the people, right? That's what he did. Now, notice they were washing their nets. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, and that would have been Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, a haul. Okay, now we're supposed to notice, and I know we've heard this teaching before probably, but it says nets in verse 2 and nets in verse 4. I have so much writing in there. And Simon answering said, Master, we're expert fishermen, and we have toiled all night, and we took nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, he had one net left. They were washing the other nets, and he had a net that maybe was needed repair. You know, it was rotten. It was a rotten net. He had one left over, and because he thought, this isn't going to work, you know. We know how to fish. This guy doesn't. Apparently, they were not chosen yet to follow him. Yeah. And when they had done this, so he gave him that net, and they did that, and this was after he was done preaching, and he used his boat. And they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now, there's a reason it's net. In the Amplified, it doesn't do it right, though. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, washing out the good nets, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were so full, they actually began to sink. Amen. That was a lot.
God is good.
All right, so when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And this was why, because he had given him that he thought it wasn't going to work. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll give it to you. You know, take it, you know. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter had the revelation right there. And he was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of the multitude of fish which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that were partners with Simon. Well, eventually all three of those came with Jesus, you know, and followed him. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. That's when they followed him. Now I have, okay. Now, because he asked to borrow that ship so he could preach. You know, it was like, hey, can I use your building to preach? And so the Lord said, I'm going to pay you back for using Peter's boat so he could preach. Do you get what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Hey, when you do something
for him,
like the ministry of helps, you are, my goodness, he pays you back. He's going to pay you back. See, the love in Jesus, he drew those fish like a magnet. That's what it was, the love in Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the love in you will draw the angels. They'll draw the anointing. They'll draw all kinds of things. People. Yes. Finances. That's the truth. We're not just telling you that. It works. It's really true. So this was really a multiplication of a hundredfold, part of the blessing of even being born again. When you're born again, you have the blessing of Abraham. But if you never know it and never believe it and never receive it and never do what the Bible tells you to do, because it's a matter of trust. Oh, is this number one in your life? Or do you really trust God to give it out? If you trust God, He sees it. It's a matter of trust. Honest to God, it is. And it even says in Malachi, try me, prove me, test me. Oh my gosh, we have to test God. We should, I mean, I almost cried when I read that. I thought, we shouldn't have to say, prove God. But okay, God, if I give this, I want to see what I get back. That's what you're doing. But He actually said to do it. Hallelujah. So, okay, we got all the stuff, got ready. Well, let's, okay. Well, pray, if, unless you have that up there. Are you ready? Okay, Father God, I thank You, I praise You, I magnify You. It is an honor to give into the kingdom of God. It is an honor to give to You, God. And I'm not because we get a payback even, but I know that You do. That's what You do. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over, Lord God. When we obey You, and if we have nothing, you know what? If you have nothing to give, you always have words to give. Giving. And that's like God even honors that because He knows. So we thank You. We praise You, Lord God. You are so wonderful, so awesome, so glorious, so good to us. And Lord, we can't thank You enough for even showing us the kingdom of God. I'm so grateful, Lord God, for brought us into the kingdom, Lord, and saved our lives. Yeah, Lord, maybe we knew You and loved You, but we didn't know much of the Word. And Lord, I thank You that when You know the Word and You know what it says, and Lord, when we ask You to give us revelation and You give it to us and You give us wisdom, You give everything. And You have a covenant with us. And in that covenant, it actually says that everything that belongs to You is ours. And so we thank You. With God the Father, we are heirs of the world of the earth. We are heirs. Just think. That's true. It's the Word of God. It says it. And with Jesus, He's a joint heir. You don't have to split anything with Him, though. Everything He gets, we got. And He got everything. And so we thank You, God. And we say to You, Lord, that Your Word says in Philippians 4:19 that My God supplies all of my needs, my need for deliverance, discouragement, defeat, depression, and oppression, for healing, for finances, for everything. My God shall supply. It's a guaranteed thing. According to Your riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. My goodness, yes. He never lies either. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Trust Him.
Hallelujah. Thank You.
Trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm of Thy holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm.
Okay, go ahead and sit out. You can be seated. You see, the enemy is still the prince of the power of the air. That's huge. And it says that in Ephesians. People don't even notice that. He's the prince of the power of the air, which means he rules the airways. He tries to. And all those air eyes, they're putting out pornography, they're putting out swearing, they're putting out making fun of God and communion. I just, oh, you know, you barely flip a channel. I mean, that's been going on since my kids were teenagers on those talk shows. Making fun of the blood. Oh, whoa, that's dangerous. But I tell you, that tries to go in the airways. See, what I know, and I know that I know that I know this, and I maybe heard it from somebody too, that the more we speak the word of God out in the airways, out loud, the more we're counteracting that, killing that other junk that's in the airways. Do you know that scientists actually studied rock that was real old from the time probably of 6,000 years ago or maybe older? And there was a pre-Adamic. There was a pre-Adamic earth too, but we're not going to go there. There was. but they could actually pick up sound waves out of that rock.
Come on.
They pick up sound waves of what those people were saying. So I'll tell you what, that what you say stays in the air also. And we need to be counteracting. Not using God's name in vain. And all that other stuff. You know, we had a wedding yesterday, by the way. Chrisanne got married. But anyway, it was very tiny, small, like 10 people. But I just couldn't figure out what to do today. It was just like, oh, and then we got home early, and I looked and thought, prayed. Nah. So that was why, because we were going to have, I should have known. I know I probably broke some rules, but hey, remember when I said Jesus broke the leper. When the leper actually broke social distancing, because that leper says, Jesus, can you heal me? And he ran up to Jesus. He was supposed to stay 100 feet away. And he broke social distancing right there. And you know what? That was the Levitical law. And then Jesus broke it too, because you know what he did? He laid hands on him. He fell at Jesus' feet, and Jesus probably knelt down and went like this and did it right there. And he broke the Levitical law of putting hands on a leper. See, there are occasions. The Levitical law was broken also. On a Sunday, they weren't supposed to do any work. And sure, that their ox or their donkey or whatever they had, or mule, I don't know, fell in a hole. I mean, you can't leave them in there. Right? They broke the Levitical law. Then they said that Jesus shouldn't heal. Anyway, do you see what I'm talking about? Jesus is a higher law. His laws are higher. They are. Okay, so, well, we're going to talk. Okay, on Wednesday, we really delved into Numbers 13, Numbers 14, and the words of our mouth. And I'm going to continue a little bit on this. Now, there definitely is a connection between what you say and what you have in life. And if you're not satisfied with what you have, then change your words. So what you see in your life, good or bad, is a result of words. Okay. So really, this could be called a teaching to turn things around in your life. Okay, let's go to Matthew 12. I'll just go long as we, I mean, however. I won't keep you all afternoon again. Matthew 12, verse 33. Let's go on the Amplified again, and we actually said this the other night too. Okay. Matthew 12:33.
Come on.
Okay, it says, either make the tree. Now, the tree there actually is your tongue.
Yes, it is.
You either make the tongue sound and healthy and good, and its fruit sound and healthy and good, or make the tree or your tongue rotten,
yep,
diseased and bad, and its fruit will come out rotten, diseased and bad.
True.
For the tongue or the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit.
Exactly.
I mean, people can judge any, you know what, people can fake, but you judge it by the fruit in their life.
Exactly.
You know, you can't have good things deep inside and speak evil.
That's right. Big time.
Truth. And you can't have evil things deep inside and speak good. It's impossible. Okay, now. Okay, it talks about his, the tree. It's like a given gender there. It's a person or life here. So it's a person or life or your tongue. And that's how you come up with that. The tree, or you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
A sound tree. That's what we're talking about. Okay, verse 34. Sweet Jesus, now I always say this before I say this. You offspring of snakes. He said it. You offspring of vipers. How can you speak good things when you are evil and wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, it actually said you offspring of vipers. And you know what? That's a snake. And it kind of goes back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
See, who's talking to you? Verse 35. The good man from his inner good treasure or deposit, the what you deposit in your heart.
Uh-huh.
If you're listening to a bunch of garbage on TV or a bunch of swearing and a bunch of whatever, you know what? There's a deposit in your heart. But if you're listening to good things as much as you can, and some of you can't help it because you're at work, the good man from his good treasure or deposit, what you put in your heart, flings forth good things, comes out of his mouth. And the evil man, out of his inner evil deposit or storehouse, flings forth evil things. Truth? Okay, verse 36. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle. Idle word is a non-working, inoperative words. Coming out of your mouth that you speak.
Yep.
You see, it's by your words. All right, next verse. For by your words, you're going to be justified and acquitted.
Yep.
You know what? You're going to be made free or not guilty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Acquitted. You're acquitted in a court of law. By your words, but you are right here on earth. Oh, I wanted to say something about that. It says every idle, non-working word you're going to be judged for. And actually, that doesn't mean that at the last judgment, you're not going to stand there and he's going to give you a thing. You said this, you know, when you were 8 years old. No. What happens is the stuff that comes out of your mouth, you're going to reap it pretty soon. A whole year can pass. And you'll go, well, why did that happen to me? Might have been because you said something. Now, if you do say something wrong, you gossip, you put someone down and you know, or say things, repent immediately. And then you won't be judged. What happens is judgment comes to you because you reaped what you sow. Do you understand? Well, you think, well, how come that person's saying such mean stuff to me? And you didn't remember that 2 years ago you said some mean stuff to them. And sometimes it takes a while. And sometimes it's the next week. Sometimes it's the next day. So, you know, I don't know how far we're going to get, but at the end of this, we're going to repent for every word. And you can do that. You can. See, you just don't know. Okay? So, anyway, we're talking on verse 37. For by your words, you're going to be acquitted, and like in a court of law, or justified. And by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. You're going to get a sentence for it. You know what? Okay, there are laws in the earth, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
Isn't there a speed limit law?
You bet. Yeah. You bet.
Is there a tax law?
Yeah.
All kinds of laws. Okay. There are also spiritual laws.
Yeah. Those are
spiritual laws are higher than the man-made laws. That's why, just, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Even with what's going on?
Yeah.
With the everything. But because of laws in the earth, we sometimes use them against ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Now, in the spirit laws, there's the law of faith. There is a law of faith.
Yeah.
One time I preached on it, and I noticed there was a guy in church, and he was going like this, and he was looking in his Bible. He was getting madder and madder at me at something. I found out from his wife later that he had gone home and he had gone to Bible school, and he went through all of his concordances and all these things, and he says there is no such thing as a law of faith. And then he went home and got all of them out on his table. And she says, what are you doing? I'm looking up to see if there's a law of faith. And she says, well, what did you come to conclusion? He said, I found it. He was so mad he walked out of church.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea why he walked out until she told me. But then he was always nice to me.
Because he knew you're right.
But okay. Hey, this one, there's a law of reaping and sowing.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's right in Galatians.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, there's a law of seed time and harvest, right? And you know that seed time and harvest, I mean, that's a natural law, but it's also a spiritual law. Okay, so your words are seeds. And you know, even that, we're going to go a little bit to the, okay, Matthew 13, 10 through 18. If you had a Bible, you should be close to it, because we were in Matthew 12. No, wait. Okay. Yeah, it's Matthew. Mm-hmm. The sower sows the word is in three of the Gospels. But we're just going to do a little bit of this morning. Verse 10.
Hallelujah.
We'll just go King James. Yeah. And the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to him, why speak you unto them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Exactly.
For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. He'll going to get more.
Yeah.
You know, I could say this, whoever studies in school is going to have more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, you're the teacher's pet.
No.
I studied. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that what he has.
Exactly.
It is. It's the truth. You didn't study?
I can see it.
I mean, this is just, that's a natural thing, but it's the truth. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. See, a lady called me once and she said, how in the world, why would God say that? That I speak to in parables, and whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. She didn't catch it. She didn't read the whole thing. She read the whole thing, but did not understand it. And I said, because they don't have hearing ears. They don't care. They came to church just to, because somebody said you should go to church. Okay. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. I'm going to say it again, because they seeing the word, they can't see it. And hearing, they hear not. Because they don't understand it. I don't get it. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And by seeing you shall see and shall not perceive it. You won't get it. Why is that? Because this people's heart is waxed gross. It is hardened. Their heart has become hardened. This word that I'm even saying has to go in you.
Yes, it does.
And if your heart, same thing when you plant seeds, if there's a drought and there's actually cracks in the earth, and then they try to plow that up or even try to plant the seed, it's so hard it doesn't really go in to the soft soil. That's why we need the former and the latter rain. That's the purpose of the former, the latter rain is revival. And we need it to wash our hearts pure and clean and to get it soft so the word can go in. Okay, so this people's heart, you get a hard heart from doing what you know is not right. Watching crap on TV, excuse my language.
No,
I hate that word, but that's the truth.
Exactly.
Listening to dirty stories, pornography, whole bit, all that stuff, hanging around the wrong people. Yeah. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Okay, now I'm going to tell you this too. I can look out there sometimes and I see this. After I've done, I see this.
Yep. I can't take it, the light.
And I don't even think the people know they're doing it.
No.
Yeah.
You be careful of that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you know that. I don't care if you're not listening. I mean, I care about the word and God going in.
Yeah.
But see, you've got to come prepared for church.
That's it right there.
Yes. Amen.
You've got to want it, and you get more out of it. But your eyes literally, and I heard someone that saw in the spirit realm, and they said, I saw a demonic spirit around there like this. Going around him. Like, it was like, you know, like this. It was trying. Because, sometimes you let it in. What he's saying. Okay. All right. Okay, be careful. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Where am I? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. It's verse 15. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. He said that to his disciples. And your ears for their hearing. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you are hearing and have not heard them.
Okay.
Let's see, how long was our verse 18? All right. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. I probably need to read it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and he understands it not, here comes the devil. Here comes the wicked one, and he catches away that which was sown in his heart. And it talked about, it was like seed being planted on the wayside, and it had just died. Okay? Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. But see, I looked at myself and I went, oops, sometimes, I mean, because we're really joyful. Oh, we get all excited about the word. But look, yet he has not enough root in himself. He's not reading the word at home or doing other things, but he endures for a while. But then when stuff comes, tribulation, stuff goes wrong, you don't have enough money, or you're persecuted at work, or something like that, because of the word, by and by, he is offended. See, you can get offended by the word of God.
That's true.
Okay. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. Oh, and you know, it's really good for a while. And pretty soon, you think, gosh. Church is good and all that stuff, and I like the word, but let's go party some night.
Stay away from church.
I need to just have a break.
Yeah.
So you get contact your old friends, you know. Hey, No, but I mean, it's just the cares of this world, or it could be just plain cares. You know, you get so distracted because you don't have enough money or this or that and or pain in your body or something like that. But also though, you know, wow, I got promoted at work. And so you're there 24, you know, you're spending all your time at work, putting it above God. It's the deceitfulness of riches. And all that stuff starts to choke the word, and that person becomes unfruitful. I didn't even know. I put okay, some of those things could be sickness, disease, family, job, paying bills, offense, relationships, world happenings, fear, or depression.
Sports.
Okay, last verse of this. But he that receives seed into good ground is the one that actually hears the word and he understands it. See, this is so huge. We could hear the word, but if we don't understand it, we go out there and we never use it. See, I'm always talking about that. Apply the word when the rubber meets the road. When you need to apply it. And, okay, that person bears fruit and brings forth, get this, 100-fold. You're going to get payback. Amen. Or sometimes it's 60, but well, I'll take 60 too. Or 30, and I'll take 30 too. Wherever, you know what? Take it. It's a start. Yeah. Okay. Now, we know and understand that is given to those who follow God. Hidden truths are things not comprehended or understood. You know what comprehension really means? It means a working knowledge. You work it when the rubber meets the road. You work it when you need to work it. Somebody said something bad to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're just going to act in the flesh and get mad, you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Are you going to say, hey, I'm not supposed to do that? I read that in the Word. All of a sudden, and you get the Word in you enough. All of a sudden, something will happen, and you will be able to stop. Whereas before you weren't. Yeah, so comprehension means a working knowledge. And you do it naturally. And not only that, you get the hidden truth of mysteries in the Word of God. Now, another way to get that, though, is to pray in tongues a lot. Sometimes people haven't caught the relationship of what they say and what happens to them. Uh-huh. And I kind of covered that a little while ago. Because sometimes you're reaping something you sowed, and you don't even remember you sowed it.
Yeah.
But the enemy will cover up truth. Because you don't know the importance of the relationship between what people say or what you say and your life.
That's right.
You know, before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they only said what God said.
Isn't that wonderful?
And we were made to only say what God says. Oh, boy, I know. I'm saying that, but I want to get there. So God speaks what he wants. You know, when God speaks, he never changes.
Right.
And if God told you to do something and it doesn't click with the word, then he didn't tell you.
Right.
It was the wrong voice.
Right.
See, so when God, he will speak what's in the word. And when he speaks, it's permanent.
Yes, it is.
When he said to that leper, the leper said, I'm not worthy to be healed. And because leprosy was a unclean, usually caused by an unclean spirit.
Yep.
We're talking sexual. Unclean spirit. So anyway, you release words and things will come to pass. Because we were designed to speak things so they can come to pass. But the curse changed that into negative. Now, I want to tell you something. That's why you don't just read, like, who you are in Christ. Like, you have to say it out loud. Because so it gets out of your mind and goes to your heart. And so that devil hears it too. That's really important. Out loud. You know, we were in prison ministry, and I used to teach, and they would ask you for advice, and I'd say, well, you know, you need to read the word. And it just broke my heart because they said, I don't know how to read.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a dumbing down.
Yeah.
You don't know how to read. You can't read the word.
Yep.
And that's pathetic.
Yes, it is.
That's huge.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people have graduated from high school. Even my husband admits he graduated and was a poor reader. He went into the Navy, never read for years and years and years and years till he became a Christian. He started reading, and you know what? He started reading really well. Because he kept reading the word. There are people in here that could barely read the word because they stumbled around. As they did it more and more and more, they get better and better at reading.
Alive. The word's alive.
Do you see? Because this word, that's right. It is alive. It's true. I've heard case after case after case. But you've got to dig in. You've got to discipline yourself and do it. So there are laws, there's principles or foundation. Now, this is what a law is. It's based on a predictable circumstance of an act that works out the same way every time. Now, if Lonnie is on duty and you're speeding past the speed limit, there will be a predictable circumstance by the act you have done. You're going to get a ticket. See, you can predict or know what the outcome is. But even the law, there's the law of gravity. There's all kinds of scientific laws. But remember, and God's the one who created all that stuff.
Yes.
You know, man made laws, you know, just like now they're trying to make, one of the politicians said, if I get elected, we're going to shut down the country.
Come on.
And we're going to, till COVID is totally gone. Well, how come all those other viruses are gone? I thought, oh, just keep saying that. Everybody really wants to really get shut down and stay in their house continuously. and not even be able to mow their lawn or never go to church or never sing anymore. Keep it up. Just keep saying that. But anyway, predictable outcomes. Preaching and teaching have predictable outcomes depending on the measure of hearing. You know what? Preaching inspires you. I mostly teach. But teaching is to bring understanding to the preaching. So, see, because sometimes you've been inspired, but then you need to understand some things. We're in the era. There's different eras to Christianity. Right now we're in the era of the Word and the Spirit. And we need to learn something. And see, understanding takes away fear. Pilots are taught, well now, one thing, planes defy the law of gravity. But pilots are taught how that works so that it takes away the fear. I think, will it take away your fear? What did Jesse? Jesse knows how to fly. Okay. See, yeah. But now, you know, it's not that amazing that a big or little plane can fly when you understand how it works. You know what? That whole thing with Peter and that catch, you know, that I just got done saying. It was a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. And Peter was astonished, but Jesus was not astonished. Because he said, let down, he said words. He said, let down the net for a draught or a huge, you know, just catch. And remember we said that the love in Jesus, the love of God in Jesus, drew those fish like a magnet. Now, the law of confession. There's a law of confession. It will do the same thing every single time. Yeah. It's totally predictable.
Yes, it is.
Confession is a spiritual law. Now, I'm not saying confessing your sins. I'm talking about confessing who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Confessing what God says, you are healed.
Yeah.
Confessing, keep confessing it and confessing it and confessing it. Yeah. It's a law and it's totally predictable if it's biblically worked out right.
Yeah.
Okay. If you meet the biblical requirements for it, it will work the same no matter who works it.
That's true.
Yep. Now, one thing you got to be, though, is you got to not be in any kind of unforgiveness. Now, that will stop it.
Yes, it will.
So, I mean, that's one thing. And I can see I'm not going to get hardly anywhere. But, yeah. Yeah, right. So, let's go to Mark 11, 12. The fig tree. Let's do the King James. Excuse me. And on the next day, tomorrow, when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and he saw a fig tree afar off having leaves. And usually when they have leaves, there's figs. He came, if haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Now those are the words of God.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. And actually God told him to say it.
Yeah.
Because every word Jesus said, he heard God say it first. And his disciples heard it. Now maybe he wanted him to say it to them so they would have, to learn.
Yeah.
And they came to, well, okay, now, let's jump down to verse 20. Now, meanwhile, they went to Jerusalem, they went in the temple, that's when they cast and the money changers out, Jesus cast them out, all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. So then they went, we're going to go back. And they were walking. And in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Aha, uh-huh. And here we have it. And Jesus answering said, have faith in God. But you know what another interpretation is? Have the faith of God. In other words, when you get born again, you have God's faith in you. You have the faith of God. And you can use the God kind of faith. Now Jesus said this. Go to verse 23 then. For verily, and that means assuredly, it's guaranteed. I would not lie to you, saith the Lord. Yep. I say to you, and he's saying it to you right now,
right.
That whosoever, you are a whosoever,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Shall
say.
Read,
no, no.
Shall say unto your mountain, unto your problem, unto the problem.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Right.
Get out of here.
Yeah, right.
It says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And when I always thought, why into the sea? Because seawater destroys. Salt water destroys. Eats up stuff. But you shall not doubt in your heart. But you shall believe that those things which you say. Now, how'd you get born again? You believed it in your heart, you said it with your mouth. You believed it in your heart, said it with your mouth. You said it with your mouth, you believed it in your heart. Whatever you believe in your heart, you say with your mouth. But that's, first of all, you've got to say it with your mouth sometimes to get it in the heart, though. All right. Okay, you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you're going to have whatsoever you say. So if you say, okay, all right, I know the doctor just diagnosed me with cancer. Let's say, no, he didn't. But, I mean, he did in 2012. He diagnosed me with cancer. Okay, so I thought, all right, I'm not going to tell nobody. Can you? No one. Until, and I'm going to see what God wants me to do. And I did tell my kids, though. I felt they had the right to know that I was going to have surgery. I just, you know, wanted to get rid of it. That's the way I wanted to do it. But I did not tell anyone in church, maybe you. Anyway, and so people kind of even wondered why I didn't. I didn't tell them until afterwards. Because I can remember Kenny and somebody was in the sound booth. And I said, well, I'm not going to be here Wednesday. And when I had the surgery was 9/11. September 11th, in 2012.
7 years ago?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was 2012 or 13. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I think it was 2012. Yeah. And so I came back and, you know, people wondered, but sometimes the more people hear that,
Robert's
and that was, the more they say about, did you hear that pastor has cancer? Yeah, and they might not believe like I did. So all I could think of the doctors when he said that, I was almost laughing inside because I thought, thank God for Ron Canole's song. And this is actually in Isaiah. Whose report do you believe? I kept thinking, whose report do I believe? And they have to talk to you for insurance purposes for at least 40 minutes. And I know that, you know, then when the doctor wanted to do chemo and all that stuff, I said no. He says, well, you're going to have to come in every week and get checked. And I said, okay. And he says, then he finally said, you're a praying woman. And he says, I just believe you're going to make it.
Hey, that was prophesying right
there. Yeah, But I was really careful then. I wasn't so, I have to admit this, I was not so careful when it came to this, because it hurt. You know what? You can have cancer and you don't even feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was stage one, so praise God. But this, I lived to go so long I could walk. And that was, I'm having a doctor, you know. All right, I tried at the beginning of the COVID thing. I remember sitting on the chair and I get up and I go, oh, I could. I actually moaned. And I know Ron was going, what's wrong with her? And I had to get up here because it was time to start. But you know what? I go, okay, step on your foot. I don't care how hard it hurts, step on your foot. Something started going wrong with my hip. And they finally gave me a steroid shot right there in the bone, in the, you know, in the socket. But that helped. But everything started to go wrong. I was getting hammer toe, you know, and it was like, that hurt. It was ouchy. So my mouth was, my personality, I mean, like, Jackie, could you have shut up on that one? Anyway, I'm just admitting to you. Okay, I did that other one right. But you can have whatsoever you say. Exactly. Whatsoever you say shall come to pass.
Uh-huh.
Now, verse 24 says, therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, not when you see the answer, not when you see the answer, when you pray. Now, believe that you receive it and you will have it. Now, if you'll notice something, verse 23 is talking about saying, and this one is talking about praying. But whether you're praying or saying, say the word. In fact, when you're praying, use the word also. So it doesn't make any difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you pray it or you say it.
Yeah.
When you say it enough, you don't have to pray it.
That's good right there.
But take it. Receive it. This is the word of God.
Yeah.
And then it actually does say, and when you stand praying, forgive.
Yeah.
Or when you stand saying. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Because he can't. And that, you know, that is the word of God. Now, I'll just say this much. Peter was shocked at the dried up tree. And Jesus was not shocked because he spoke it out loud. You know what? We should be astonished if healing and finances and a tree or a fish catch wouldn't come when we confessed it. We should be astonished that it didn't come, right? Instead of being so astonished when it does come. Because we're usually shocked. Are surprised when the lights don't turn on.
Come on, that's it.
What's the difference?
Yeah,
you're shocked about that, right?
Yeah.
When the oven doesn't work and you're making a turkey for Thanksgiving and you have 25 people over, and the coffee pot doesn't work and you got to have your coffee. If a woman's hair dryer doesn't work. Or the water stuff's coming out of the faucet, and the toilet doesn't flush. And those are all things in the natural. Just call Jesse. No. Okay, but see, we're shocked when things that we take for granted, you know, go wrong. But this is the word of God. It's eternal. The lights are not eternal. And, you know, I mean, we just got to think about things like that. And to your wonderful surprise, I'm going to stop. Are you astonished? Amen. Now, I had a, let's see. And you know what? You've cut it from its root supply, right? And that thing will last up to 3 weeks if you water it. You know, you decorate it, so forth and so on. But she said, you use the word of God against something, and when it's coming from your heart, you have cut it at the roots. And the roots, but you don't see that right away, because it's being worked on. So just know, even if you stood up here for healing today, the healing power of God is working in you, whether it was for depression or what, or if it was for healing of physical body. He, you cut it at the roots. But see, if you say the opposite, then it won't work. You stopped it. So don't do that. Remember the Christmas tree. We believe in the natural. I mean, you know. So anyway. Yeah, I thought of that before and then I didn't say it. I thought, well, edit. Oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, John's graduation card. Yeah, John graduated. My grandson, our grandson. Everybody's grandson. No. Ken and my grandson. Okay. He actually had a ceremony, finally. They were supposed to have it in May, like when Lonnie and, yeah, I mean the cap and gown and everything. They did not live stream it, though, for purposes. You know why. No. And that's in California. And so last May, or last May, during COVID, we signed, some of you signed it. So I don't know if you remember signing it, but I told her to hold it until they actually had the ceremony. Yeah. So if you didn't get a chance to sign it, we can sign it afterwards. We'll put it up there on the table. You know, or check yourself. Maybe you forgot if you signed it. I just thought I would send it to him. We sent Lana and Sonia one too.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. You were having the baby then, were you? Or did you have the baby? You had the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. There is prayer at the courthouse at 3. 3 p.m. So if you want to go for that, I'm not sure. I know. I'm just, but on the other hand, I think...